With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is one gardener that would even let the Easter Bunny hang out in his garden. Other bunnies, maybe not, but the Easter Bunny for sure. He's Doug Oster. By the way, let's take the 10th caller at 412-922-1020 to win that gift certificate from the folks at Sorgles. $25 gift certificate. So, Doug, happy Easter. And I know Grandfather Doug, Uncle Dougie, affectionately known by many, including me. Very special day for you and your family, and you'll be gathering and enjoying some good food. But this is also the start of what is really a very busy planting season as well, is it not? Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Easter, Rob. What was your favorite part of the Easter dinner when you were a kid?
Always was ham. Always was ham. Wasn't much into the scalloped potatoes or any of the other veggies, but I loved ham. I loved it ham during the dinner. I loved those ham sandwiches, and there was nothing like watching that ham being sliced and diced in the middle of the table with my sisters during that great, great holiday. And obviously when my children were young, you know, it's evolved a lot, Doug, this holiday. But there was a time, and you remember, you got up early, you found your basket, and you got ready and washed behind your ears, and you put on the shoes that you could see your reflection in, and you went off to church to celebrate the day that was Easter Sunday. And good news is, a lot of folks getting back in-person worship, both, of course, not just because of the Christian faith, but Passover as well, today the final day. So it's a good day to be here on planet Earth, is it not?
It sure is. I knew if I asked you, you would paint the perfect picture for us. So let's start talking gardening. I did see the Easter Bunny, I think, out there in the garden. I saw a few colored eggs, too.
Nice.
So later on, Miles Stevens from the Davy Tree Expert Company joins us to talk about curb appeal of trees and spring planting. But let me tell you about the Davy Planting Project. This is pretty cool. For the month of April, in celebration of Arbor Day, they will send you free tree seeds, which is cool. And we'll talk about all the details later. But I do have the information up at my website, DougOster.com. And, man, it got cold. You know, I talked to a lot of people up in Butler, I think down to 17 degrees. And so for many, many people that love magnolia trees, they got zapped. You know, mine I'm still not sure of. I see some brown up there, but I see some pink too. So we will find out today. But everything else actually did pretty well. You know, some of those early daffodils were a little droopy, but surprisingly in the vegetable garden, the peas were up, unaffected. Radishes had just sprouted in my garden and were unaffected. Can you imagine that just a little radish seed, it germinated, it was sitting there just as a little itty-bitty thing, and yet, you know, 20 degrees wasn't cold enough to kill it, which is just, it's wild. So most of everything turned out okay. I didn't cover anything. People were asking me if they should cover their daffodils, and, you know, in my case, I've got acres of daffodils, so that's not going to work. But as long as, you know, as long as you could do it without hurting the daffodils, but daffodils are so tender as far as, you know, putting something on top of them, I think you'd do more damage than good. And as I said, I was picking daffodils, you know, after that cold. I am having so much fun doing my free virtual organic gardening classes every Thursday at 4:30. It's been a big hit. We've got hundreds of students. It's been a scream. And I've partnered with Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania. Present the classes through Zoom. It's real easy. I mean, if you've never done this before, it's super easy. They just send you a little link, and you click on it, and it pops up on your computer. And this week it's all about one of my favorite topics, cold weather gardening, cold weather choices in the vegetable and flower garden, choosing the right plants, keeping them happy, and then I hang out after class and we talk and answer questions, and it's just a lot of fun. You can register at DougOster.com. This week's book giveaway is a pretty cool little book. It's called, listen to this title, Life in Plants, Flowers I've Loved, Herbs I've Grown, and Houseplants I've Killed, On the Way to Finding Myself by Katie Vaz. Lots of really wonderful little garden stories in this book. And all you have to do is go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button. And this week, just say, Happy Easter, I want to win. So I know that you are doing it this week and not throwing in there, I want to win. So Happy Easter, I want to win the book.
Listen, tomorrow...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, tomorrow you're going to be here after local news at 6, and I just want to get your thoughts. 1 minute, and you can kind of finish up before the hour gets away from us. And by the way, if you have a question for Doug, all of our lines are open, 866-391-1020. Davey Tree will be here talking trees with Doug in just about 20 minutes. But, we were talking yesterday in the True Value Home Improvement Show about gardening, but more importantly, the lawn, organically taking care of your lawn. And I know you're a big believer in that. So can you really get curb appeal, beautiful, lush, green lawn as far as simply going all organic, Doug?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And there's proof all around the country. It's just if you have to want to do it. It's not going to be easy. All you're doing is treating the grass like a plant and giving it what it needs. I always tell people, grass has what it needs, which is a proper pH and proper fertility. It will outgrow all other plants. That's why we try so hard to keep it out of our flower beds, out of our vegetable garden. And, the trick is, and we talk about this all the time, just get a soil test, find out what the pH is, get the pH right, and then fertility is everything. The fertilizer that I just love, I am of the mind of I want a balanced fertilizer, not a high nitrogen fertilizer. I listened yesterday, I heard a little bit of that, and yes, a lot of people want the high nitrogen to green up that grass quick, but again, if I'm looking at the grass, I'm looking at it as a plant, and a balanced fertilizer, it'll green it up, but it'll also give it good roots, and that's what we want. And there's this stuff called Revita, and I talk about it all the time. The only places I know to get it are the Pittsburgh Agway stores and Hahn Nursery, and it's cheap. It's $20 for 50 pounds, around $20 for 50 pounds, and it's basically dehydrated chicken manure. Rob, when you put that dehydrated chicken manure onto anything, it's going to grow. And so that's my opinion of the lawn. And one of the worst things that we're using is a chemical herbicide. You don't need it. Just look at Phipps. Drive by Phipps. They have a completely organic front yard, and it's a what we call quilted lawn. There's more than just one species of grass. It's not a putting green, but it's beautiful green, and you could do it. All right. Do I have time to plug one little appearance here, Rob, or should we go to a break?
No. Give me the plug. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to be appearing Saturday, 2:30 p.m. at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse out in McDonald. I appear there often. I like going out there. I'm judging a little plant competition they've had going on. And then I'm going to speak at 3 o'clock. It's all about successful spring planting, 3 p.m. Saturday at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse in McDonald, and it's absolutely free.
All right, we'll come back. 866-391-1020. All of our lines are open. If you have a gardening question for Doug, now would be a great time to call. Mal Stevens after the news at the bottom of the hour, Davey Tree, Talking Tree, all today, right here, Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Good morning. And some folks wanting to talk to Doug, so let's get going and say hi to Mary. Mary, good morning, and welcome to KDK. How are things in Peters Township?
Okay, thank you.
Good.
My question is about peony bushes, which I've had for years. And last year, towards the end of their growth, they just died. And I wondered what happened to them.
Did they start to discolor, maybe a whitish powder, that sort of thing, and the foliage just kind of turned black and faded away?
Yes, right.
Yeah, there's a couple different fungal issues that peonies get. Have you seen them popping up already, the red growth, the new red growth?
They're starting to, yes.
Okay, yeah, you'll be fine. All that I would recommend this year for you to do is treat that new green growth before the flowers come on with an organic fungicide, and you can find that at your local garden center. And the trick about using any fungicide for any fungal issue is to apply it before you see signs of damage. So what happens with peonies is, you know, they grow all season. If we have a wet season or if something, you know, if a fungal spore gets into the plant's system, we won't know it. It manifests itself later in the season, and that's what you saw. You saw the plant,
yes,
you know, just kind of turn black and fade away. We have to apply that. If we want to stop that, we got to apply that fungicide probably every 21 days. It depends on what you're using, but there'll be an application rate on the bottle. And, you know, every once in a while you'll spray that plant, and that will keep it healthy throughout the season. It's very, very difficult to kill an old peony, and so that's the good thing. So it's just a pretty common problem, and if you reach for that organic fungicide early in the season and through the season, you'll be fine, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's say
thank you for your call.
Say hi to Bradley. Hi, Bradley.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for Doug. We moved into a new house right in the winter in January, and as the grass came up now, lots of the grass, all our neighbors' grasses are green. Our grass is some patches of green, but large areas of yellow, almost straw. It's not been dry. Obviously, we've had lots of rain and stuff, and so I don't know why we have straw instead of real grass and big sort of, you know, areas of the yard on both sides of our house.
Right. We see that coming out of winter sometimes. And all you can do, and don't worry about this, you'll be able to fix this. And so the easiest way to do it is get some, you know, get that off there. Okay. So just go out and rake when we have a nice day. Hopefully today will be a nice day. Rake the stuff that looks bad off. You know, anything that's good will hang in there for you. And then get some good grass seed, and I mean 100% seed, not stuff with filler in it or that sort of thing. And so Jonathan Green has great seed. We love their seed. It's, the sun version is Black Beauty. The shade version is called Shady Nooks. Penn State Mix is also a great grass, and it's just, you know, it's inexpensive. It's great grass seed. And then just watch for coming rain, you know, one or two days of rainy days coming, and I think we've got that midweek. You rake out that the kind of straw looking stuff, throw your seed on there, put something on that seed so that it doesn't dry out. You know, a lot of times people will use straw, but if you don't like that look, you could use, you know, compost on top, just like a quarter inch on it. Keep it moist until it sprouts, and now that new grass is going to take hold for you, and you'll be in good shape. And the kind of the wonderful thing about getting into a new place is seeing what else blooms. So I hope you're getting some bulbs blooming and that sort of thing. But if not, when you move into a new house this time of the year, take a look at what's blooming and what isn't, and make some plans for your fall planting for spring bulbs. That's one of the things I'm doing right now. I'm seeing where the daffodils are and where they aren't, where the crocuses are, where they aren't, that sort of thing. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Good luck. You'll be okay.
Planting of the seeds in the wet time when it's wet.
Well, I put the, like, I'll wait. I'll look at the weather forecast. I'll see, like, okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, chance of showers. So on Monday, I'll be putting that seed down. I'll sprinkle it with water, soak it in, cover it with something, and then I don't have to, the reason I'm waiting for the rain is then I don't have to water again every day. And it's just, as things warm up and we get more rain, that grass will sprout and you'll have the best looking lawn in the neighborhood. Thanks so much for your call.
All right, let's see if we can get Rose on before we have to get to a break. Got a couple of minutes for the break. Hey, Rose, good morning. Welcome to KDK.
Good morning, guys. Happy Easter.
You too.
Hey, I don't know if you can help
Happy
me,
Easter.
Doug, but I have four flower planters on my porch. And I like to put pansies in there. I'll do impatiens. I haven't done anything yet. There's nothing in there yet. And the squirrels already are just digging in that dirt and throwing it all over the porch. And usually this year they've gotten under my plants, and they dig them out and they throw them down. Is there something I can put in the soil before I plant?
You know, there are some repellents, but I'm not sure how effective they are. I'm in Squirrel Central, too, so I feel your pain.
It's terrible. I tried Grandpa Remus. I've tried mothball holes. But I thought maybe there's something I can put in the dirt before I put the plant in.
So let's just think of what a squirrel is. It's a fuzzy, cute-looking rat. And so, again, it's hard to prevent them from what they're doing is they're either burying or they're looking for something that was buried. You know, in my case, it's acorns. You know, acorns are everywhere, and they're just digging up everything. So here's a thought would be to use some kind of real fine screening on there early on, like now, and that'll keep them out. There's something called hardware cloth that you could put on there. But then after that, you know, put some chicken wire on there and then plant through those holes. And that should help. That's about the best I could do for squirrels. They can be a pain.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. And Mal Stevens getting ready to join Doug. It is just about time for Davey Trees Talking Trees right after we take a break. And Melinda gets us caught up with the news. It's 7:30. Good morning.
Before we get to Miles, I want to tell you about something pretty cool called the Davey Planting Project. You can get free tree seeds in celebration of Arbor Day, and here's the address, and I'm going to spell it for you. First, I'll tell you it's podcasts, that's plural, at davey.com. It's podcasts at Davey, DAVEY.com. You just send them an email. They'll send you some free seeds. All the information's at my website, DougOster.com. Good morning, Miles, and happy Easter.
Same to you, Doug. Thank you. Happy Easter to you.
I want to thank you first for recommending a service berry tree to put into my landscape. I put that in, and I couldn't be happier. And today we're talking all about curb appeal. When you hear curb appeal, what do you think about first when thinking trees?
First of all, I was thinking of sort of a variety of, you know, curb appeal trees, some larger, small, you know, larger trees, smaller trees, you know, that just sort of work well together, you know, provide maybe some visual interest at various times of year, not only with maybe flowering, but also different bark characteristics and things like that. It sort of make it look, interesting.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up with the bark. That's one thing that a lot of people don't think about when they're thinking about planting a tree. They think about the flowers, which, yeah, we love our flowers. But that exfoliating bark on a lot of different varieties. In my forest here, one of my favorites is shag bark hickory, but I also have a paper bark maple, which, boy, that's a slow grower, Miles. I've been waiting 10 years for that thing to really do its thing. But go ahead.
Yeah, they're not a fast grower. I do like them. I think that the bark is definitely interesting. And but yeah, they're a slow grower. We planted several through the years, and yeah, we're still sort of waiting for them to get any size to them.
Is there anything else bark wise that you think about, like for winter interest, that you would recommend planting?
Well, some of your like river birch would be one. Is another one that has interesting bark to it. Even like white oak, more mature white oak will have some more of that flaking type appearance. Another tree don't see it planted a lot would be like hackberry, because they get an interesting bark. They'll have it almost looks like warts on the bark. You'll see those. They'll have a really interesting bark characteristic.
Tell me a little bit more about a hackberry, because I don't know anything about it, but yet when I talk to tree experts, I hear hackberry a lot. Tell me about how big it gets, what it looks like, what it does.
Yeah, it from a younger hackberry, a lot of times almost can be mistaken for an elm. It sort of has a very similar appearance. But they grow into like a 70, 80 foot, 90 foot tall tree. And they said the bark has a warty appearance to them. And one thing I found out about hackberry, which was interesting, was the fact that I was out at Meadowcroft Village one time, and he talked about one of the things they found in the archaeological dig there, hackberry seeds. And, the Native Americans used that as a food source, which I never thought of because they get a little berry on them. So that they found a lot of those seeds in that dig. But I think they're an interesting tree. Don't see them planted a lot. They are a native tree to the area. It's one of those common trees that's not so common. But they can develop into a pretty large tree. But the bark, it can sort of be grayish, but it looks like it's almost like warts all over it. Interesting tree.
Could I get away with putting that into like a forested area where I've got some very mature oaks, and I lose one a year as they get older. Would hackberry work in that situation?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you'll find them just sort of scattered. They're, like you said, they're sort of like cucumber magnolia. They're a common tree. You just don't see them everywhere all the time. But, yeah, certainly forested area hackberry would work very well.
Well, you bring up the word magnolia. Did you feel the collective sigh throughout Pittsburgh when that cold weather came through and hit all those magnolia buds?
Oh, yeah, I heard the sighing before it even happened because I could see they're breaking out and ready to really come into full bloom. And I was on a couple of properties and we're like, well, hopefully it doesn't happen. But, yep, they got zapped pretty good. And, but that's sort of one of the situations. You bring a non-native in and they always like to be ahead of the game. And, I mean, we get, a frost. It doesn't have to be a really late one either. I mean, it's certainly not late for cold weather or frost and they get zapped. So, yep, there's a large collective sigh.
So I'm looking at mine. I don't know, Miles, but when I look to the very top, I do see some color, some pink. Just tell me that there's a chance that it might move.
Go ahead. It could. I mean, there's different varieties of magnolia, too. So some, I think, maybe saucer magnolia, some of those ones, I think they bloom later. But a lot of sweet bays and things like they're an early bloomer, and I think they're the ones that really good zap, but there'll be some that might bloom because there are different varieties of magnolia, so some still may be okay.
So what has the spring been like from the perspective of an arborist? Has it been normal, early, late? Where are we?
I think that we're sort of right on track for what I would consider a more normal spring. Last year was warm so early, and things were coming along. I guess year's been a little more normal. I mean, things are slowly coming out. So I think it's been, to me, it's been fairly normal. It's not been extreme in either way. We warm up, then it cools off, and gets really nice and cools off. To me, that's sort of Pittsburgh kind of spring weather,
And what kind of stuff do you look for early in the season when you're on a property? Is it inspection before we get going, or what are you thinking when you go onto a property to look around?
Well, sort of look around for any winter damage. Just, in case we did have some snow, ice, or whatever, so you're looking for broken branches, And you can sort of get a good look at the overall structure of the plants before the season goes. But a lot of times looking for winter damage, those type of things, and structural issues. That'd be the sort of the key things that you're looking for when you walk on the property this time of year. They look for some of your flowering plants. You can still look for bud development. Dogwoods are looking really strong right now, that type of thing. So you can make some predictions of how you think they're going to do this year.
Are we at a point now where we're not touching the oaks, or is there still time to prune oaks? Because I know they have to be pruned in dormancy.
Yeah, it's like we're at the very, very end of that. I mean, had this warm weather this last week, and you look at pin oaks, you're starting to bust out more, so I think we're really at the very, very end to doing any oak pruning. You might sneak a few more in, but at this point, I'm going to, once we hit April, I think we're pretty much so done with that.
And real quickly, I know there's one other tree that you turned me onto that I didn't know about that I love called a sourwood.
Yes, great little tree. the flowering and everything about it is just fantastic. And once again, it's a native tree, so it's, you know, it's just adjusted and can handle our crazy up-down weather at times. Great, great little tree. Once again, it's a common. It's a native to the area. It's just not so common. Tree, the fall foliage color, the flowering, whatever those is really, really magnificent. I had a great accent tree for your property, really.
And I know you've got one growing in your landscape. All right, Miles, hang out there for a little bit. I bet you we'll have some tree questions when we come back. Now, for more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, if you have a question for Miles, Doug, you can call us. All of our lines are available, 866-391-1020. Lamb, ham, and kielbasa, Easter traditions. Joe Dentisi and I, son Frank, is off. Coon's Cooking Hour in just about 20 minutes. Odyssey 100.1 FM, AM 1020. KDKA, Rob Pratt Sunday. Good morning. All right, let's see if we can get at least one call on the air here quickly. Let's go to Celeste in up next on KDK, the Organic Gardener, Oak Township. How you doing, Celeste? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, and happy Easter, happy Passover to all. A quick question for you.
Okay.
I just bought a scarlet red dogwood yesterday. I'm going to be planting it, and I would appreciate any tips as far as the location, southeast, northwest, how deep it should go. Anything you can give me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Let's go through basic spring planting, pre-planting.
Okay, yeah, I mean, planting hole should be three times the diameter of the root ball, but no deeper than the root flare on that. But really, you know, with the dogwood, I definitely would not want to do a southwest facing slope or orientation. I'd be more northwest, and you'd be somewhat protected by larger trees. Would be preferable, not total shade, but partial shade, but you definitely don't want to put it out there in the full sun.
Yeah, kind of a understory tree. If you could, let's talk a little bit more about that root flare, because I know from talking to you guys over all these years that planting a tree, any tree, too deep is the worst thing you can do, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because you're suffocating the root system. You know, a lot of times people think, well, plant it deeper, that way I give it lots of good soil. Well, what you're doing is suffocating it. So really, you know, you need to peel that. If it's a bald and burlap tree, you need to peel away, you know, that burlap around the base of the tree. And sometimes you have to move a little bit of the dirt off there, too, because sometimes when they're dug at the nursery, you put a little soil on there. So you want to find it where you see where it starts to flare out. And then at that point, you shouldn't plant it any deeper than that. You know, and the tree will have a much better chance to survive. Unfortunately, people put more soil on, they sort of kill them with kindness.
Yeah, killing with kindness sounds like a houseplant. And so, Miles, when you put in a plant or a tree early in the season like this, what about the watering? What should I be doing watering-wise? You know, we're going to get some spring rains, but do I need to do something additionally just to make sure that it catches on?
I would still, if we don't get rain, you know, for a couple of days, I would certainly think about doing some, you know, watering with it. I mean, plants can dry out very quickly. The soil can dry out very quickly. You think you had a lot of snow and whatever moisture through the wintertime and you get some rain. But, you know, those upper layers of soil can dry out pretty quickly. So I can't say there's a hard and fast rule. You just need to go out and check the soil from time to time. And certainly when you look to plant that tree, I'll put a light layer of mulch also. It helps with moisture conservation and also a little modification of soil temperatures too. But some light watering unless we get into unless we get into real dry conditions. There are different things you can use too that you can put onto the plant. And they're like a tree watering gator you can put on too, which are very nice. And you basically put that around the tree, zip it up, and fill it up, and then you can walk away. That makes it easier. I'm not sure how familiar you are with those, Doug.
Yeah, I've seen those tree gators. They're pretty cool. You just kind of just wrap it around the tree, and then it you fill it with water, and it kind of slowly puts the water out. Is that right?
Yeah, it just sort of drips like 4 to 6 hours, and they'll hold like 15 or 20 gallons of water. So they hold a good little bit of water. They're nice. I mean, it makes watering of plants, trees a whole lot easier, you know, because it's like, well,
all right, Miles.
How long do I water? And who knows what your water pressure, what your method is. So that, you have a quantitative amount
right.
of water you definitely put down on the plant.
Well, as always, thanks for all the information. That was good stuff. You know, a lot of people think about planting trees in the fall, but we can plant them in the spring, too. And as Miles said, just keep some water on them, and you'll be good to go. Remember, for more information about Davey Tree or ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
Okay, Doug, great job. Thank you so much. Stay with us, because guess what we're going to talk about next hour with Joe Dentisi. Son Frank is off. Ham, lamb, kielbasa. So if you have some Easter recipes, traditions, tips, tricks, treats, and more, call us right now. Get on the phone lines at 866-391-1020. They are all waiting for you, all four lines, and someone, by the time we reach 9 a.m., we're going to draw a name at random, is going to take home a $25 gift certificate from Coons Market. Hoping you're all having a wonderful Easter. They, too, all closed today at all 8 locations, back up and running for business bright and early tomorrow morning. Melinda with the news at 8, and then it's the Coons Cooking Hour, Rob Pratt Sunday, Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Good morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!